Let's pray together. Lord, meet us. Lord, speak to us. Lord, we hunger for your grace and your truth, and we need truth today. Open up your word to us. May it move from being ink on a page to being words spoken by your Spirit that put life inside of our spirits. We pray for a miracle to take place. You promised your word would accomplish that which you sent it forth to do. And so, Lord, we anticipate that being the case this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our graduates have spent years in school, and sounds like most of them will be doing more schooling. They've had teachers. All good, I'm sure. Maybe some they didn't always appreciate, though. Good teachers or bad teachers? Truth or lies? Things that are accurate or things that are maybe compromised with worldly ideas? They've received different things, and so do each and every one of us. Whether formal schooling days are over or not, we are all in need of being instructed. We're all in need of being taught. But the problem is, who's the teacher that's going to bring us truth? Well, I love Pentecost Sunday, because Pentecost Sunday reminds us of who it is we need. In John chapter 14, verse 25, Jesus says, "All this I have spoken while with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you." The Holy Spirit brings us the truth of Christ, the truth of the Father, and puts it inside of us, brings it to our minds, reminds us of it, so that we can live Christ-like lives, victorious lives in this world. Without the Holy Spirit as your teacher, you will not succeed. You will not become all that God has intended for you. You will not bear the fruit that Jesus has planned for you. So graduates, young and old, you need a teacher. You need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the teacher of God. He's called the Comforter or the Counselor. Each of those implies that he's the one that's playing a role in your life to guide you along and instruct you moment by moment. Acts chapter 1 is where Jesus reminds his followers that they need to wait for the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, we read in verse 4, Jesus saying to his disciples, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So Jesus says, this is really important, guys. Don't rush off. Stay here. Wait until you have what you need. You're not ready yet. Don't go rushing out to do the things you think I want you to do before you actually have me by the power of the Spirit living inside you. Wait. Don't leave. And wait for the gift my Father promised. The Holy Spirit indwelling believers is a gift. The most spectacular, stupendous gift. We think about what all that Christ accomplished, his wonderful teaching, his wonderful example, but the greatest gift he has for us is actually living inside of us by his Spirit. That's the gift we all need. How sad that someone might fail to receive a gift. How sad that someone might have God extending to them his very self, and people say, "Well, I don't really think I need that." No, this is a gift we all need to have. And notice he says it's the promise of the Father, the gift my Father promise. Jesus had spoken about it. The Old Testament prophets had spoken about it. It was the plan from the very beginning. All that preceded this moment was God preparing his followers for this moment, where God was saying, "Here's my holy expectations of you, but you're not able to live up to them." Time after time throughout history, you've come to realize your inability So now I'm going to solve that problem by being in you by the power of my Spirit. Wait for the gift my Father promised. One of the reasons I'm so passionate about this teaching and the day of Pentecost is my own hard-learned lessons. Especially towards the very end, I was trying hard to live a Christian life. I was trying hard to do what I thought God wanted me to do. I even sensed God calling me to become a pastor in the future. I even went off to Bible school. But the lesson I learned at Bible school was my inability to do what Christ wanted me to do. I don't know if that's what they intended to teach me or not. But what I was made aware of at Bible school was my failure, my sinfulness, my inability to live for Christ, my inability to have anything of any substance to offer anybody else. Who was I to think that I could become a pastor? No, from Bible school, I learned I was a failure. So unfortunately, I dropped out. I didn't go back for my second year of Bible school. I thought, well, I'll just become like every other Christian I know, just going through the motions. But it was actually at North Dakota State University where someone finally taught me that I was right. I couldn't live the Christian life. I learned my lesson well. Bible school had taught me the truth. I can't be a Christian. I can't be Christ-like. I can't be successful in living the Christ that God wants for me. The only way I could ever become what God wanted me to be was if God lived in me by the power of His Spirit. That's the secret of the Christian life. The law is supposed to cause us to come up against the reality that we are failures in need of a rescuer. And day by day, we need God doing something in us, or our existence is futile. I'm so appreciative of God's working through a man named Bill Bright decades ago. He passed away a few decades ago. He eventually founded the ministry called Canvas Crusade for Christ, now renamed as Crew, but he taught the simple truth that we die and Christ lives in us. We die and invite Christ to live in us by the power of His Spirit. We die and now Christ fulfills God's righteousness in us. It's not my efforts, it's God's done accomplishment now in me that flows through me so that I can do what God wants me to do. It's the miraculous exchange of life. We're told in Acts, wait until you receive the promise of the Father. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The idea there is of being completely drenched by, or completely immersed in, completely included into the Spirit of God, so that you're in the Spirit and the Spirit is in you. It's this flow that's taking place. And that's exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 reads, when the day of Pentecost came, the disciples were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. There were people of all different nationalities gathered in Jerusalem at that time who heard this proclaiming of God's goodness and were wondering what was going on, were guessing what might be taking place. So Peter then stood up in verse 14 and said to them with a raised voice, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. See, this wasn't a surprise to those who had read their scriptures. God had told the people that this was coming. This was the plan. This was the promise. This was one of my favorite prophets in the Old Testament. He announced this. And now it happened. This is the day the church was born. This is the day when God wasn't beside people, outside of people, alongside people. God was inside people. This is when God said, I'm not going to be influencing you from afar, from a distance. I'm now going to take up residence inside you so that my life will be in you, fulfilling all righteousness. To get this, we need to die. To receive this, we need to die. Die to our own will, die to our own agenda, die to our own priorities, and then give ourselves to God, inviting Him to rule inside of us. And what happens is we finally become fully alive. Now we have the spiritual life of God impregnated into our very spirit, living in us. I thought of an image for us to think about this. A few weeks back, prom weekend, Lisa and I were helping with prom as junior parents. One of the things that we were assigned to do is go pick up an inflatable toy, an inflatable game. You've maybe seen these inflatable jump houses. Those are more common. This was something a little different, but same idea. So picture in your mind an inflatable jump house toy, a large thing. It's just canvas. When we got it, it was just a roll-up of canvas wrapped up with a big strap on, put onto a big trailer. And when we got it, we unrolled it. It didn't look like much fun. A rolled-out piece of canvas. We hooked it up to the fan that was provided, plugged in the fan that was provided, and it started blowing into this canvas until it inflated into this blow-up toy, a game that the kids enjoyed playing. But there was a moment later on when there was a kind of a quiz game going on, and so I went over and unplugged that fan. You know what happened? It started collapsing. It started deflating. It started falling down and just becoming flat canvas on the ground again. It was only when the fan was blowing into it that it stayed inflated and did what it was designed to do and provided a place for the kids to have fun. The Spirit of God is called the breath of God or the wind of God. We need God blowing into us moment by moment in order for us to be inflated and to be alive and to be what God wants us to be able to accomplish what God designed us to accomplish. Unplug the fan, disconnect from the breath of God, stop the flow of God's breath into us, and we become flat and lifeless and ineffective. You need God flowing into you. But there is a reality that at times the flow is impeded. Maybe for this image, water might work better for you. Picture a pipe where water should be flowing. It should be flowing into your house, bringing fresh water. But sometimes those pipes get clogged. Sometimes something gets in there that causes the flow to be impeded. Maybe it's a chunk of something that we don't even want to imagine what it is. Or maybe it's just gradual scale buildup on the outside edges of the pipe. Whatever it is that's impeding the flow of water is something that's destroying what should be being accomplished. And whatever is hindering the flow of God's Spirit into your life is something that needs to be dealt with. It might be some blatant sin. It might be something that the enemy has tricked you into and tripped you up with so that thing is there and is plugging up the pipe and it's not allowing the Spirit to flow into you on a consistent, powerful basis. Or maybe it's just bad habits, wrong beliefs, misplaced values that have lined the walls of your life and it's hindering you from being able to receive fully what God has for you. Whatever it is, here's the good news. God has the ability to unclog your life. He can use a spiritual roto-rooter of some kind. He can get in there and he can remove that stuff, that clog, that debris, that scale, whatever it is that's hardened you and plugged you up, that's keeping you from being open to his flowing into you. He can remove it. But he's so gracious. He provides the grace and truth, but he invites us to be inviting him to do it. He doesn't force it. He doesn't demand it upon us. He simply extends his grace to us and says, I'm here to do a work in you. I'm here, so let me do it. Invite me in. The question is, will we? Will we invite God to open us up, to remove what needs to be removed, and then to flow into our lives? See, the reality is that this is the most basic of Christian teachings that we so often ignore and so often forget. To be honest with you, I sometimes think about, oh, should I preach that? I preached that last year. I preached that the year before. I preached that for 20 years. But every year, I need to hear this again. In fact, every month, I need to hear this again. Well, every week I need to hear this again. No, every day I need to hear this again. Sometimes I need to hear it multiple times a day. Joel, you can't do that on your own. Joel, you'll never be righteous in your own strength. Joel, you'll never bear fruit just in your own efforts. You better die and invite me to flow through you. And so as I thought about that and whether I should preach this sermon again, I realized I needed to hear myself preach it. And we all need to be reminded, moment by moment, day by day, we need the Spirit of God flowing in, ruling in, controlling us from within, so we can live the Christ life. Are you willing to take that step again today? Whether it's the first time or the thousandth time, let's invite the Spirit to flow into our life, to fill us. When Paul talks about this truth in Ephesians 5:18, he relates it to being controlled by another substance. He says in Ephesians 5:18, well, first, starting back a little further, verse 15, Paul writes in Ephesians 5:15, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. It's not a one-time filling. If you read that, you might think, okay, be filled. That's something that happened in the past. But the reality is that the word that's used there is this word that has this tense of something that starts and continues. It's something that happens and then continues to happen. The idea is that you should be filled once and then continually, constantly, repeatedly, forever and ever, be continually filled and filled and filled and filled and filled again with the Spirit, so that the fan keeps blowing in and you continue to be inflated. If that's the sense of that word, then praying and inviting the Spirit to fill us is almost like a moment-by-moment activity in our lives. It's almost as frequent as breathing in natural air, bringing in more oxygen. I've breathed a few times already while I've been up here speaking this one sentence, so maybe I need to be continually filled with the Spirit of God. So let's pray together. Let's do this together. By faith, let's receive what God has for us. And let's back up enough to see if there's any clogging that needs to be dealt with. So we'll start with confession. Will you pray with me? I'll lead, but will you pray inside your heart? First, Holy Spirit, we invite you to help us pray. We can't even ask aright without you guiding us. So you are the teacher. Guide us into truth right now. Empower our prayers. Give us the faith to communicate our hearts to you openly and honestly. Lord, we recognize that we have sinned against you in thoughts and in words and in deeds, things we have done and things we should have done that we didn't do. So, Lord, we ask for forgiveness. We ask that you would cleanse us from sin. We know that you are faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, knowing of your goodness and of your grace, we come to you now and invite you, Lord, please cleanse us from sin. We repent, we turn away from those things, and we turn towards you and put our faith in you and you alone. And Lord, one of the things we confess and repent of is trying to live a life without you, trying to be Christian without the Spirit of Christ. We confess that, we repent of that. Now we ask you to fill us. Fill us now and fill us repeatedly as we move forward. Come into us, Holy Spirit. Breath of God, blow into us. Blow into us the very life of Christ. Blow into us and align our thoughts with your thoughts. Align our emotions with your emotions. Even align our body with your desired reality for our body. Breathe your life into us. The life that brings health and strength, and then ability to discern your very thoughts and your very will. Breathe into us, breath of God. Blow into us, Holy Spirit. Fill us to overflowing. Fill us completely. And continue to guide us now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So what's this going to be like? What's this going to be like as you move forward? The Spirit wants to guide you moment by moment into truth. I, in hindsight, recognize I heard a small little voice of the Holy Spirit this morning. But I didn't listen to it. It's possible to not listen to the Holy Spirit. I went out to our van and I opened up the passenger's door. And I put my briefcase in. And then I put my hand on the door to close it, and I was going to go around and open up the driver's side and get things started up. And I heard this voice, "Don't close it." I thought, well, that's silly. I'm going to close it. I closed it. It locked. I went around the other side, and it wouldn't open. And I looked inside, and there's my briefcase with one key fob, and there's Lisa's purse with the other key fob. And this thing's not supposed to lock when the keys are in it, but it did. And so it's still sitting there with my Bible and my sermon notes and all of Lisa's activities she planned for the kids' picnic here in another few minutes. We can make a choice moment by moment to listen to the Spirit or not. We want to be praying, God, attune my ears to hear and obey. Hear and obey. Hear and obey. My timer says I have one more minute, so I'll tell you a success story. This is a few years ago, and I was, I think, preparing for my first trip to Africa, or maybe it was my second, but I was living in Columbus, Ohio, and a day before I was going to be gone for a week and a half, the faucet in the shower breaks. So it's just spewing water. I have to go down and turn off the main water valve in the basement. I'm thinking, it wouldn't be the best thing for a husband to leave the house for a week and a half with the water having to be turned off. And this house was 40 years old. It was an old valve, and it was going to either require tearing apart the wall to fix it or somehow just finding the right insert that goes into that shower valve. So I went to a store nearby, a major store, and was looking, and none of them seemed to match. And this guy says to me that's standing there looking, says, "Oh, well, I know where you can get one of those. Go over to the other side of Columbus. Drive 45 minutes and go to this store. They have everything." So I go over to that side. And I show the guy what I need. He goes, "Oh, yeah, we usually have those." But I don't know where you'd find one of those. So I'm driving back through downtown Columbus to the other side, my side of town. I'm saying, God, what do I do? What do I do? And as I'm driving through the main part of downtown, I sense a voice inside my thoughts. Turn here! Well, that's not the right place to go. That's the wrong part of town. That's the crazy part of town. But I turn. And I'm driving on this road, and I don't know where I'm going. He says, go further. So I keep going. And right before I get to the area where the Ohio State University begins, I see an Ace Hardware store. And so I stop, and I go in. I say, I'm looking for one of these. He goes, follow me. Here's a wall of hundreds of similar ones, and here's 10 of the ones you need. I took it home, and I screwed it in, and the faucet worked for Lisa while I was gone. I didn't know where to find one of those, but God did, and I listened, and God met my need. That's what the Spirit wants to do for you. Graduates, you don't even know the questions yet, but the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth, and He will guide you into all truth. Listen to Him and obey. Let's pray. God, we desire You. We need You. Speak to us, voice of God. Speak to us, Spirit of God. Guide us into all truth. Guide us by Your indwelling presence. Guide us moment by moment. Keep reminding us, Lord. Sometimes we're so dense. Sometimes we forget that we're so dependent upon You. Keep calling us back into intimacy with You, a relationship that's growing closer and closer. And guide us moment by moment. Protect us from the lies of the enemy and the lies of the world and the lies of the flesh. Protect us from that which is just swirling around to distract us and delay us and turn us off onto wrong paths. Guide us into Your truths and help us to obey. Spirit of God, come and freshly blow into us. We pray in Christ's holy name. Amen.